You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
I almost missed it, and I can't believe I did. Here I am, somebody who's supposed to be an expert in marriages, or at least helping get marriages back together, and I almost missed our anniversary. Today is our anniversary. By the time you listen to this, it'll be 2 weeks past that, and my wife and I will be in an empty nest. But that's part of what led me to almost miss this. 27 years of marriage, and I almost missed it because we're trying to get everything ready for that empty nest. Our youngest son goes off to college along with my elder daughter tomorrow. So we're all leaving the house. I'm taking my son, my wife and I are taking my son to college. We'll drop him off and then we'll travel and visit my daughter and make sure she's all settled for her senior year. And when we come home, we will have entered a new chapter in our lives. And so there's been a lot going on at our house, a lot of busyness. And because of that, we decided that we would be celebrating after we got back. But that doesn't mean that I'm not mindful of the fact that 27 years ago, my beautiful wife said, I do, and I said, I do. And when we said that, we meant I do for the rest of my life. And that's been the thing, right? I mean, that is the thing about marriage. And so part of what I want to say is how much I have appreciated being through this with someone who stood by my side and whose side I've stood by. We've been through graduate school together. We both were students at the same time. And then I kept on going, and we both have developed our professional careers. We had kids in that process. We lost my wife's parents. We went through, both of us, some pretty significant illnesses along the way, and just the everyday knocks of life. And throughout it, we've been by each other's side. Throughout it, we've managed to kind of get through those tough times and celebrate the big times. You know, sometimes we commemorate things and sometimes we celebrate things. And today I'm celebrating 27 years of marriage because it's been a time of growth and because it's been a time of love, and not because it's been so easy. I remember years ago when I was doing a class, and I had lots of people that were in this class, had been with me for a long time in this class process where I was teaching, and they had an opportunity after a while to meet my wife, and they said, oh, it must be so nice to be married to him. I mean, he's so smart and so knowledgeable, and I laughed, and my wife laughed, and you know, that's the thing. This isn't about how easy it is to be married. I would say that we have had a good time, and I would say that we have had a wonderful time, and I would say that we have managed to get through any challenges together. But don't let that fool you. We, even though we're both therapists and kind of understand it from the outside, it is no different than being on the inside. You know, the difference for me is when people come to my office, when they leave my office, they're taking their life with them. Whatever decisions they make, however they act, however they respond, whatever they decide to do, it's on them. But in my life, it's on us. Whatever my wife decides to do and whatever I decide to do, it's on us. And so don't fool yourself into thinking that because, you know, I have this knowledge base and my wife has this knowledge base about relationships and how they should go, that makes it easy, that makes it something that's a snap. We have had to work at it, and we have a wonderful relationship. But it's not one that hasn't been without its challenges and its times where we, you know, we've had to say, what's the next step and how do we work this out together? There was an article recently in the New York Times, and this person quotes her mother as saying, the easiest way to stay married is don't divorce. And I really think that that is such valuable information, you know, for a newlywed to say, you know, don't divorce and you'll be married the rest of your life. But there's a deeper level of that. It's not just about saying, well, then I guess I'm just stuck in whatever I've got for the rest of my life. Because if you say, well, what do? Because we've promised to be together for life, then it's not about being stuck. It's about making the shift to, I'm in this for life, so let's make this worthwhile. What I've noticed is that there are always these three options in life. You can, one, just kind of leave things the way they are. Two, ditch things and leave. Or three, take wherever you are and make it into something worthwhile. And so as I've kind of grown into my professional life, I've recognized that those vows we make in a marriage, in a wedding, if we really listen to them, they seem to really set up the stage for where we're going for the rest of our lives. When we vow to be with someone for the rest of our lives, it's not vowing to go through this misery of the relationship, but of saying, I'm with you through this, so let's make this work. And it's about two people saying, we're in this together. Let's protect our relationship. Let's stick through the good days and the bad days, the sick days, the healthy days, the rich days, the poor days. Let's stick through all that and make sure that we are dedicating ourselves to each other. I mean, just the vows. If people would just live out the wedding vows that we all take, well, at least if you haven't rewritten it and made it something like, you know, as long as I love you. But if we take those traditional vows, I think, have evolved as ways of creating the circumstances where a marriage can thrive if both people listen to the vows. So 27 years later, I'm still proud of the fact that we have lived out those vows. That doesn't mean that we have been on easy street, and it doesn't mean that every day we wake up, you know, just ready to say, I love you, I'm so passionate about you. But every day we do say, I love you. Now let's make it better and better. And so I think about some lessons I've learned along the way. And I just wanted to share 8 lessons. There are lots of other lessons I've learned along the way, but in this time of being married together, it really has taken what I learned in my training for helping marriages and made it about our marriage and made it about how do you thrive in a relationship. So the first lesson I learned is it's not about me. And I remember the struggles of that in the early days of our marriage for me to say, this isn't about me, it's about us. Because we spend our young life thinking about ourselves and developing ourselves and our individualness. And then suddenly we have this marriage where we're saying, we're in this, it's the two of us. It's a we. We are a team. And suddenly it's not about me. That doesn't mean I disappear from the scene. I can still have my outside interests and my opinions and everything else. But when it comes to moving through life, it's not about me. It's about us. It's not about me. It's about we. How do we move forward in this life? And so one of the huge revelations to me is that it's not about me. And I think we all struggle with that. It's not about giving up who you are. It's about adding to that. It's about being something greater when the two of you are standing by each other's sides. It's about having each other's backs. Which brings us to number 2. Civility is a great start. I notice how many relationships are damaged just because people don't treat each other with respect and civility. Just respect and civility is a nice way of, you know, of not being mean and not making digs and not insulting. And that doesn't mean that those things never happen. But when they do, you quickly apologize and you try to move forward. But civility is a great basis. It's not everything in a marriage, but it's a great basis. And many times I've watched people who I knew were great friends with me be not so nice to their spouse. And it always baffled me because it seemed to me that this was, of all the relationships, the one that they would want to protect and be civil around. So I learned that civility is a great way to start the process. Which brings us to what about conflict? See, I don't think that marriage, and this is my number 3, marriage is not about avoiding conflict. Conflict is part of the nature of what happens when two people live in such close proximity and are relying on each other, and what happens makes an impact. You know, like I was talking about earlier, somebody in my office, when they leave my office, they take their life with them. But when my wife and I make a decision, each of our decisions impact the other. And so there's no way to not have conflict. There's no way to not have some places where you say, you know what, I disagree with that choice. But what I learned is it's not about avoiding conflict. It's making sure that the conflict you have is worthwhile. Many times we get into these skirmishes, which, you know, they make no sense. You're arguing about something, and everybody does this, you know, where you're sitting there in the middle of an argument, and there's a part of your brain going, why am I even arguing this? I don't even care. Years ago, I was consulting with a nonprofit, and I taught them a little thing. They could not get to consensus, and I watched them in their business meetings, and I realized that the reason they couldn't get to consensus was because everybody decided to adopt an opinion whether they had one or not. And so I gave them 3 cards, and I had a red card, a yellow card, and a green card. And so as they were making decisions, when something came up, if they didn't care about it, they just held up their yellow card, which meant I don't have any play in this, but if I do, I'll change my mind. And that was one group. Another group were the ones who were red, who had a stake in it. And there had to be two parts to this. They had a stake in the decision, and they disagreed. A green card meant, I have a stake in the decision, and I'm good with where things are. So the yellow cards could just stop. You know, they didn't need to go forward unless something came up that suddenly made a stake for them, something that they had a stake in. And so then what we were left with were the green cards who were ready to move on and the red ones who needed to have something happen. And so throughout the process, they just had to hold up their card. And one of the things I realized is how often they were getting derailed because somebody who had no stake in something continued to argue about it. And what I notice is how often we do that in marriage. People have conflicts over things for which they really don't care, except for they're having a conflict. It's a power struggle. It's about me, right? They've forgotten that it's about we, and they've gotten to a power struggle where everything is about power. So it's not about avoiding conflict, but it is about making sure the conflict is worthwhile. The fourth one is that hope matters in tough times. And this is really a place of adopting the fact that you can always say, we can make this better. We can get to a better place. Life will get better. In the darkest days of any moment, to have hope, to be able to say, you know what, this isn't forever. We can get beyond this. You know, when we were in graduate school and we were tired of eating waffles and pancakes, but that's all we could afford, there was a part of the hope that was knowing that that wasn't a permanent state. When the kids are crying and upset and you don't know how to comfort them, there's a hope of knowing that down the road, they're going to be self-sufficient. They're going to move on. And now we're facing the end of that where we know they're going to be self-sufficient. And in those many struggles, you know, when you're at the beginning of a job and the money is less than the bills, there's still hope for the next chapter of that. When you're ill, when you're sick, when you're not feeling well, to know that there's going to be a day when that's better. When you have a loss, but you know that you're going to come out on the other end. You have to go through the grief process, but you know there's hope that you'll move through it. Hope matters in tough times, and couples who are able to support each other's hopes and to give hope when the other person feels a little more hopeless are the ones who continue to thrive. And so part of the struggle together of being a team is to say, let's be each other's hope, and let's hope with each other that we move to this new place. Number five is about being each other's biggest fan. I am a huge fan of my wife. And, you know, one of the things I often tell her is I'm amazed that she puts up with my crazy ideas. And she has for 27 years. And she's my big fan and my biggest fan, probably. And I would say definitely, and knows me inside and out and understands where I come from and gets me. And so my suggestion is that a strong marriage is based in being each other's fan and finding those places of cheering them on. And one of the things I've noticed is in some marriages, it's about being afraid the other person's gonna kind of overtake, you know, get to beyond where you are. And instead of that, it's celebrating their accomplishments and celebrating who they are and celebrating their uniqueness and being their biggest fans. Being a raving fan of a spouse is what brings together a marriage and makes it strong. Number six is you're in it together. So act that way, talk that way, think that way. These are the places where I think that we becomes. If you're in it together, if you say we have tied our lives together for life, then decisions are about what's best for us. How are we going to get beyond that? Sometimes I watch couples just keep working through these decisions where each person is saying, if I do this, then I'll lose that, but you'll get something. If I do this, I'll gain something and you'll lose something. And then there's the magic question. What's better for us? How can we get to a better place? So acting in that way of thinking about how we're we, of talking that way, of treating each other and using those pronouns of we and us and treating each other with that respect and talking about the us, the we, how we're going forward and thinking that way, nurturing a place where your mindset is about you're in it for life and you're going to make it great. Those are the pieces that when they fit together, you become more and more in it together. And number seven follows up and brings a lot of this together, which is to forgive and move on. When you're in that close a proximity, you're going to hurt each other's feelings. There's no way around it. My wife and I have hurt each other's feelings more times than I would care to admit. And it's never been particularly purposeful. It just happens when you're that close. Maybe something said in anger, maybe something said in disregards, maybe something is said without even thinking about it, and somebody else is hurt. That's the nature of intimate relationships. And so to be able to apologize is half the equation. But the other half is to say, you know what, I'm going to forgive that. I'm going to recognize that being this close to someone means that there are times when something is said that hurts my feelings. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to hold on to it. So it's forgiving and moving on. Sometimes people say, oh, I forgive you. But then a little while later, they pull that card out and play it again. And when I forgive you, it's where you put the cards back in the deck and you leave them alone. You don't pull them out and play them again. You let the game go. I forgive you means not I forget, but I choose to move on. So I'm not holding on to that, and I'm not going to keep it as a barrier between us. Now, that doesn't mean that everything is okay. It doesn't mean that the other person can do whatever they want and it's okay. But I'm putting it in the kind of the context of everyday life, where sometimes we're going to hurt each other's feelings just by accident. And sometimes you don't even have to say, hey, I forgive you, but to say, you know what, I'm not going to hold on to those things. It's kind of the everyday forgiveness level. And marriages that do well recognize that part of what happens in any relationship is you're going to hurt each other's feelings. And that's just the nature of it. And then you get back up and you play again and you get rid of those cards of hurt. You decide to let those things pass, recognizing that we're not ever all at our top best performance. Sometimes we're tired, sometimes we're hurting, sometimes we're sick, and sometimes we say things that are going to hurt the other person's feelings. And so our task is to forgive, to do that as little as possible, but to forgive when it does happen. And the last one, number 8, is that we are all learning. You know, I am constantly trying to learn and grow and develop. And what I've noticed is many people are aware of that for themselves, but they forget to extend that courtesy to their spouse of recognizing that your spouse is growing and learning and nurturing. And one of the things I've noticed when a marriage is in crisis is that one person will say, you know, why is it that it took this for you to figure out how to treat me or that I needed something different? And my response is, always there's a moment. Something always changes our mindset. The only thing that changes our mindset is something that surprises the mindset that we have right now. And so part of being married is recognizing that you are a growing, developing person. I am a growing, developing person. And so is your spouse. So is that significant other. So both of you give grace for the places of changes and see potential for growth and recognizing that when you do that, all kinds of things open up before you. I am so very thankful for the family I have, for my wife that has stood by my side for 27 years. I'm so thankful for what we've been able to do and accomplish. And here's the thing. I recognize this is for life. So now my task is to live it out. And that's my challenge for you, is to live out that relationship as a lifetime gift, that you don't just say, I'm stuck, but you say, how can I make this worthwhile? This is Lee Balcom wishing you a thriving marriage and a wonderful, wherever you are, wonderful relationship.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.